Welcome to episode 36 of the Nerdstravaganza podcast, where no man among us is king, but we're all lords. I'm Tom.
I'm Rick.
I'm Brian.
And coming on the heels of the premiere of the King of the Nerds television show on TBS, we've got an episode for you devoted to our initial impressions of that show. Before we get to it, though, I think we should delve into our weekly Geekly Roundup, where we confirm for you our rightful place as pretenders to the King of the Nerds throne. Lord Brian, why don't you go first with your weekly Geekly? What have you been up to, sir?
Two things just utterly hard to describe. Amazing amount of time spent this week with Polar Bears Cafe. I know we've kind of talked a little bit about it and everything, but I got a 30-day extension on my 14-day free trial for Crunchyroll Prime. So I was just like, oh, I may as well take advantage of it. And I've been watching it on my phone. I've been watching it on my Xbox. I've been watching it just sitting at the computer. I've watched so much of it. I'm changing my future plans. I'm going to buy a polar bear suit and open a cafe. I love that show. That show is just killer.
I really cannot disagree with you at all. It's awesome.
And you know what I think is awesome? What else is awesome is the fact that it was me, Rick, the non-anime guy, who relit the fire of the Polar Bear Cafe and got everybody back on board and excited about it.
Well, you really did, Rick, because we mentioned it and then you delved into it and came back with like all this new passion for us and reminded us how awesome the sample episode we watched was.
With the storyline that you guys had put out for me, I was so intrigued I had to like see this for myself. Because even just hearing you guys talk about it and knowing the outcome, I still just needed to know like what happens with this panda bear and how does he interact with this polar bear's cafe and the whole getting a job as a panda bear at a zoo so his mother doesn't try to suck him up with the vacuum cleaner was enough to get me started. And it was one 30-minute watch or 20-minute watch, whatever it was, and I was blown away. I don't know why I liked it, but I loved it.
It continues to be good, Rick. I strongly encourage you, and I'm sure Brian would agree, to delve deeper into it.
And with Tom, I played a new video game this weekend. And this could probably be a topic on its own, but just as scared as I was to continue playing it, I'm scared to make a topic of its own. Rick, have you ever heard of Tokyo Jungle?
I think Grant was talking about Tokyo Jungle one time. It's like when you like fight a dog against a lion or something like that. Or I've heard of it, but I can't recall exactly what it is.
Grant did mention it in a previous Nerdstravaganza episode from last year. Yep.
It's basically the humans mysteriously disappear and the animals take over and go feral. But as gameplay, they want to make you kind of like scale the ladder. So you start off as a what was it? It wasn't a Chihuahua. It was a Pomeranian, right?
Pomeranian, yeah.
They start you off on like the bottom of the food chain. You're a Pomeranian. And you have to build your way up. And I think we use a Pomeranian to unlock a cat, use a cat to unlock a beagle, the beagle to unlock a golden retriever, you know, like slowly working its way up. But when you're first a Pomeranian, you have to be afraid of every little tiny thing, and sure, you can technically hunt and kill, but you have to be really careful about finding the chickens and rabbits that are easy enough to kill, and oh my god, it gets so fun so fast, and then it gets so deeply disturbing. I was playing this one dog, and I got him, like, there's three levels. There's, like, novice, veteran, and then boss level. So, when I got him to boss level, he was actually pretty badass, and he could, like, there was, like, this one event where like a gang of cats attacked my territory, and it was like 13 or 14 cats at a time, and I was just like going from neck to neck, snapping them and ripping them and tossing them aside, and it was like awesome Pomeranian based combat.
Don't forget eating them.
Oh yeah, and then you go back and like devour all of their corpses. Because you get hungry really, really fast in that game, and you die if you stay hungry.
Huh.
So it's very much time management and corpse management. And I finally learned you can carry snacks with you. You just carry a dead cat in your maw.
But it might go rotten, so you have to be careful. It's twisted, man.
But once you've secured your territory,
oh yes,
and become a badass, you age, and it's time to pass the torch. To who do you pass the torch? To your children. How do you have children? You attract a mate, and then mount her in graphic detail.
Okay, I am now going to purchase a PlayStation 3.
This game, Rick, is so awesome.
Thrusting detail.
You can play as an Ivo Sony robot dog in this too, can't you?
Can you? I don't want to see him mounting his mate. To be fair, they do cut out just as you assume the position, but... Ugh.
They cut out when you pull out.
It's a little disturbing.
Yeah, it says there are other animals which are available from the player... or for the player to download as downloadable content from the PlayStation Store, which include an Australian Silky Terrier, a Peking Man, Black Pomeranian, Panda, Crocodile, Kangaroo, Giraffe, and Ibo, Sony's robotic dog.
Wow.
Badass.
Yeah.
It's very frustrating, because if a drought hits and your corpses spoil too quickly, you just die. I mean...
Yeah, because you get poisoned trying to eat. Or if a beagle calls for backup and, like, four of his friends just come in and destroy you.
And it's kind of randomly generated, so if it just so happens that there's a lion spawned next to you, your game's real fucking short.
Yeah. Yeah. It's
but if you can swallow that and get by it, it's kind of a lot of fun until you decide to mount your mate. Then it's a little uncomfortable for a little while.
But you know, it shouldn't be. That's as natural as devouring the corpses of other animals to an animal, right? I mean,
yep.
Just in case anyone was curious too, I would like to point out that once you have a litter, you have more characters. Like basically, like you have a herd that follows you around. So one of my cats had three siblings, and they all just sat there passively watching as I mounted my mate. Just disturbing. It's a very Japanese game.
So dirty.
We gotta play. You know, I'm thinking it warrants its own episode at some point.
Yep.
And that was it.
Okay. Cool. Tokyo Jungle and Polar Bears Cafe, both excellent. Excellent. How about you, Ricky? What you been up to?
I've been super busy getting ready for my trip to LA, going out to do some stuff with the band. So I haven't had much time to get down and geeky, but I decided to take a break from Skylanders and popped in my birthday present, which was Epic Mickey 2.
Yes.
And we know how much I absolutely love Disney, right? Mm-hmm. And we know how much I love Oswald, that crazy little bastard.
Mm-hmm.
I love the idea of this game, but I'm not really liking the game, man. Bad control. It's bad game. It's bad control, bad camera. I'm lost. I'm confused. I'm thinking, like, I'm kicking ass because I'm going on these levels and I'm finding all this secret shit, right? Like, I'm literally investigating every tiny pixel in every nook and cranny of each environment that I'm in. But at the same time as I'm doing this, I am discovering like secret hidden shit that I'm collecting. But at the same time, I'm constantly being prompted by the overhead voice saying, "You've gathered enough scrap metal. meet the gremlin at the statue, and like screaming and like pushing me along. So I'm like, all right, well, I guess there's nothing else to do here. I've hunted around for everything. I've found a bunch of stuff. I found secret areas. So I move on, progress the story, but it just seems like every time, it seems like the story wants to continually roll on and progress. And then I get to a certain point and I realized, dude, I'm like barreling through this game. I have to be missing stuff. And then I go back and I see that dozens of quests have started that I wasn't even aware of that started. So, I don't know how to get back to these places because the game seems to be like linear. It's not like there's a golden spawning point that you can branch off, like from a hub. So, am I going to have to backtrack through all this? I mean, I was like really confused and surprised by this revelation that I had.
Epic Mickey 1 kept you on like a linear course for a while and then took you back through old areas and kind of got you to a point where you could go to visit other areas to complete those quests. So,
and not to interrupt, but I did feel like that's what was happening. So I was like, okay, cool. Like I talked to this cow chick and, you know, I know she's got a photo album and I'm supposed to take photos. You know, I'm supposed to encounter maybe 6 photo spots. I've only encountered 2. So I'm like, all right, I must be doing things the right way because I'm progressing. But then I started feeling, maybe I am jumping the gun. Maybe I will get to a point where it opens back up and I loop back around. But as it stands right here and now, I feel lost, confused, and just bewildered with what the hell is going on. Because I thought I was kicking ass, and apparently I'm just wandering around lost.
Like, nah, you're probably doing better than you think. There's probably plenty of time to complete those quests. So,
okay.
And as far as the control, it might just be that it suffers a little bit. I noticed the demo was a little hard to get used to without the benefit of the Wiimote and the nunchuck. It was different. It was different. So
yeah. But you know, but I will say this. It's still intriguing enough that I keep going back. And it's not like I get so pissed off that I want to. It's more like I'm pissed off when I'm done playing it. I don't get pissed off and it makes me stop playing it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, you feel like you're missing stuff, but you're probably not. Okay. And you could, there are probably at this point online strategy guides available if you're concerned about leaving something behind that you can peek at.
I'm afraid I'm going to read something and like give a spoiler. So I don't know. I think I'll trudge through it a little bit more, and I mean, worst case scenario, the game is completely replayable with
correct.
At the same time, I probably shouldn't worry about it. You know what it is? I'm probably frothing at the mouth due to the fact that I'm on a very specific level that's kind of puzzly, and the camera is effing it up, and I keep getting burnt to death by fiery lava. So.
I will say the camera was the weak point in the first Epic Mickey too, and they may not have necessarily made that awesome. I won't claim it's a perfect game, but
if we had done this podcast on our regular night, I was fueled to the top with exact examples of everything of how I was going to tear it down. So I'm glad I had a couple days to chill, to calm down. And as I'm like ranting, I'm like, okay, this is just pent up rant. This isn't real rant. Because at the end of the day, I'm honestly thinking as I'm talking about it, ooh, I wish we weren't on the podcast because I could go check that level out again. And so it's obviously not that bad. And then the highlight of my week was the announcement of the Disney Infinity, which I've been following semi-closely for a while now, and it's been officially announced, and it's, for those who don't know, it's basically Disney's answer / version of Skylanders.
Nice.
It's like Skylanders meets Little Big Planet meets Minecraft, and it's going to be fucking amazing.
I like it.
I'll report more when more is ready to be reported.
Okay, I've got a million questions, but I'll save them until there's more to report. How's right. that?
Unless you got one that's a quick, pertinent one.
Is it like a PC, cross-platform console? What are you playing on?
Yep.
Yes, okay, I like that. That was the right answer. Wow, it's Infinity. It's Disney. They're all up in everything. It's great.
It's cool. It's got quest mode. It's got toy box mode. You can create your own games in it. upload them, other people can download them and play them, all kinds of cool shit, man. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
We'll link the trailer for the whole thing in the show notes.
Great.
And that about wraps it up for me. Some epic Mickey, some epic Disney news, and
you're getting ready to go hang out with your boy Vince Neil out in L.A.
Yeah, it's actually Nikki Sixx, but yeah.
Vince Neil's my go-to. Every guy I know that's in a band, like, we're going to L.A., I'm like, go say hi to Vince Neil for me. Nikki Sixx is the next one that comes.
Yeah, he just got signed as a new artist to the same company that we just signed.
Oh, no way. That's cool.
Yeah, for Schecter Guitars. So shout out to my boys at Schecter.
Shout out from us, too.
Even though I don't play guitar. But yeah, a little bit of rock star news.
Neither do we.
It'll be cool.
But if a guitar were to show up, I would play it. I mean, I would try.
Exactly.
So, send one on over. Cool, man. Cool. I guess that brings it over to me, huh?
Looks that way.
Well, I haven't done anything. No, I've my update overlaps a lot with Brian's. We experienced the wonder that was Tokyo Jungle. That game, it's been out for a while, and much was made of it in the gaming podcast verse, which I'm which I visit often. When it came out, it's really cool. Like, it's a very unique game, and I think Brian did a really good job of sort of summing it up.
Can I capture the horror?
It's horror, but not horror. You don't. It's horror you want to go back to, right?
I could skip that part, I'll be honest.
Yeah, I could have done without the, like, I mean, I guess that's how little Pomeranians get to be, you know. Yeah, play that. That was great. That was worth it. That was worth the download and the nominal price I paid. And in addition to that, have also been doing a little Star Wars Old Republic playing. I actually roped Brian into playing with me one night for a little bit, where we proceeded to get killed by guys who kept spawning the same quest as at the same time we were doing it. That was aggravating. Playing some more of the XCOM and Enemy Unknown for the Xbox 360 and getting my butt kicked. And also spending a lot of time. I'm not as far into it with the Polar Bears Cafe, but it's been fantastic. I'm not to the point where Brian is, but it's been a great ride. I would say we could devote, if we were to do an anime episode, that would feature prominently, or we could just devote an episode to Polar Bears Cafe. It's that cool. So doing that, and of course, this past weekend, I attended the Art of Video Games exhibit in nearby Boca Raton, Florida. We've all been to that, and that will be featured in an upcoming episode of the Nerd Extravaganza podcast, possibly even the next one. When I say upcoming, I mean next. So looking forward to weighing in on that after you've had some time to chew it over. It was a really cool exhibit. Okay, so now that we've all come in with our roundups for the week, I guess it's time to get into our topic, which is the show that premiered tonight, King of the Nerds on TBS.
Which I find ironic in a non-hipster way, I think. Kind of ties into the show topic we had a little while ago of, the whole nerd culture rising to the mainstream.
Yeah, Cool Kids on the Playground was the title of that excellent episode.
And, you know, we're kind of running a trend lately. Not only do we have that one, but we were talking on the Ready Player One episode. We were talking about video games that are projecting, you know, full rooms and everything. And then at CES, something like that was announced.
That's right. The Xbox accessory.
Dude, Nerdstravaganza's got the pulse on the future.
We are prescient. Brian, what was that product called again?
I think they're calling it a Lumaroom.
A Lumaroom, yeah, yeah. We're on top of it. You should listen. You don't even need to exist in the future. We're laying it all out for you right now, audience. So you should be grateful.
Right. So in actuality, what I was getting at is we are the king of the nerds, apparently. But somebody felt the need to cheeseball it up and make it a TV show. Back to you, Tom.
Cheeseball it up. Okay, so before we get into what we thought of the show, what were we approaching it with? What I guess we should start with were we going in optimistic, pessimistic, ready to hate it, ready to love it? What about you, Rick? What were you thinking going into it?
Optimistic.
Okay.
I was pessimistic. Those commercials make it look so silly. Chasing each other with flaming swords and everything.
Yeah, I was going into it pessimistic as well.
Which is why I went in optimistic. Because I'm like, they're probably showing the cheesiest, stupidest shit on the commercials, making a big joke out of it. And that's going to frustrate people. It's going to either A, frustrate people to not want to watch it, or B, entice people that have no interest in the genre or theming to watch it. Just to make it a fishbowl, you know, something to goof on.
Yeah.
So that's why I went in that's why I went in optimistically, because I'm like, they've got to be showing the worst of the worst, or in their minds was the best of the best, in order to, you know, make an impact. So I figured it wasn't going to be nearly as bad as the commercials were leading it out to be.
Yeah, it's almost like with the commercials, they were trying to bait people into.
Right,
coming in,
right.
Like teasing the nerds that were on the show or something.
Right, look how goofy these idiots are.
Flaming swords, I gotta watch this.
You beat them up in high school, now make fun of them in the living room. Right. Well, your pregnant wife doesn't take care of your already 17 dirty children. All right, I don't know why I went down that road. Let's just move along.
I just like that you went there. I don't need an explanation as to why. Yeah, I went in very pessimistic because I thought it was going to be like a, well, because, you know, my I worry that this is that this sort of geeky nerd culture thing has been played out, like, as we're doing actively every week with our podcast devoted to it. Yeah, it's kind of hypocritical to take that stand when we talk about this stuff every week. But I went in pessimistic thinking it was going to be like lame, and I was pleasantly surprised. And my coming into this episode, my frame has been shifted into that of the show, so that I am now ready to discuss my opinions on how the episode played out, as opposed to, you know, how invalid the show was as a show.
Me too.
Yeah, I was pretty pleasantly surprised. I had a lot stacked against it. I don't really like reality television whatsoever to begin with.
Yeah.
And I kind of didn't think I would like it, and I kind of hated everybody on it, but I'm kind of planning to watch it again, so why not?
Yeah, I hated a lot of the people on it too, but I think that's good. I mean, I think the fact that they got a reaction out of me, and it was testament to their casting, I guess.
Yeah, I think it's going to get better before it gets worse, but I'm still not, and I'm sure I'm speaking for all of us, I'm still not totally converted, but I will watch it again, because I'm interested in seeing how it's going to play out. I'll give it a couple of episodes to see how it plays out, but I would like to maybe go round robin, if this is the time for it, to point out things that I thought were really kind of super cheesy and maybe done over the top, that if they weren't there, the show would have been better.
Okay. Why don't you start, since you...
The insane overuse of the word nerd, number one.
Yes.
Attention nerds! Nerd alert! It's time for nerd war! Really? Did you have to say it 27 times in a 13-second period? Come on.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. And I got the feeling that they, as the people were giving their, like, little synopses of their lives or whatever, they were, I felt like they were prompted. Okay, you must say the word nerd at least 12 times.
Yes. Anybody else?
I'm not sure this is exactly in the spirit that you meant, but we can cut it out if it's not. I think they screwed up continuity, and that kind of bothered me. Weren't they all horribly shocked to see the throne of games when they unveiled it after they had already explored the house?
Yeah, there were a couple of like moments where they were in awe of this throne that they'd seen 7 times already. Like, I get it. Let's get a reaction shot of the throne. Okay, another reaction shot of the throne. They already saw the throne. Another reaction shot. Alright.
What about you, Tom? What's another?
I kind of was insulted on behalf of the academics, of like the 20-year-old PhDs that were in the room, that they were like, there's no way for me not to sound elitist. By the way, full disclosure, I'm not a PhD or anything, but, you know, my favorite girl on the show, what was her name? Mugo or something like that? Muggy? Moogie? Whatever. She was like, she's like a 20-year-old like PhD working at NASA. And like, I almost felt it wasn't appropriate to mention her as in the same sentence as a like lifelong comic book reader or whatever some of those other folks were.
Okay, and that was going to be, I guess it's not going to be round robin in the sense that we thought, but I like this. This format's good. I agree with you, but you have to realize why this show exists and why the whole thing. Dude, this is the Sheldon Cooper effect. If this show had taken place 5 years ago, there would be no legitimate engineers, neuroscientists, physics, anything. None of those people would have be there. It would be dungeon masters, video game players, and comic book readers.
Oh, you mean actual nerds?
Yes.
Okay, so this gets down to that. This is the whole geek-nerd distinction is a topic that's been beaten, you know, that's been well trodden, so it's not like I'm going in any kind of new groundbreaking territory here. But I think a nerd, at least in my mind, is an academically adept, never mind credentials, just a very brilliant person academically. Where, and a geek is a person who is into sort of unconventional hobbies. And you can be both. Right, or you could be strictly one. Like I knew nerds in school who enjoyed studying physics, and they didn't play video games. They didn't do anything for fun. Their room was like a Spartan barren hell because they were just so fulfilled by academic pursuits that they didn't really need to have fun. That's like a nerd in the extreme. But a lot of the nerds that I knew coming up through university and stuff were also into video games and comics and all the geeky pursuits. So you were a combo, and I guess I'm having a hard time understanding why now I had an objection to like the PhDs being sort of thrown into the same categories of people who are principally geeky. You know what I mean?
For me, it's because I think that they're just trying to tap into this Big Bang Theory market of, you know. Sheldon Cooper's a PhD in physics, so we need to put some PhD physics people on our show, too.
You're right.
I don't know.
Because it's something that mothers and grandmothers will relate to. It's that mainstream injection, I think.
One guy was trying so hard to show off his vocabulary. I think they anointed me with the color azure, which was basically a mixture of
cornstarch
and cornstarch with like no one is really like that. Like, we get you're trying to act like Sheldon Cooper.
Are you referring to Hendrick, the guy who played the chess match with the metalhead guy?
I don't remember which one it was on.
I'm pretty sure there were two people. Look, Hendrick seemed legitimately smart.
Yes.
And when he spoke, he seemed like it was either a really good act or he just is unable to.
Yeah, he is that socially awkward person. That is him. He is quirky. It seemed legitimately that he was quirky like that. It didn't seem like an act.
Was it the same guy, though? Because I didn't get like quirky from the guy with the cornstarch.
Well, the black hair, there was the black, I don't know if it was this guy or not, I can't recall, but there was a black haired guy named Joshua who is everything I don't really like. Kind of, he came across as way too much of like a hipster geek, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
He was a self-professed comics and gaming nerd, and he was just very, I can't believe they didn't pick me. I mean, clearly,
That guy.
Yeah, that's the guy.
That's the vibe I got from it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the same guy, Brian. But it's not the same Hendrick guy that that Tom's talking
the
about.
The Hendrick guy, I kind of like the metalhead guy, too, so I didn't mind.
No,
if
what fucking death metalhead has pink hair?
A geeky one, man. A geeky one. I didn't mind that he stayed on, but I really felt bad that felt badly for Hendrick having been sent home because he seemed very legit.
Yeah. I don't know. I think the John guy's legit too, but it does play well. I mean, they were different sides of the spectrum, really.
Yeah. Yeah. Speaking of which, if we can stick to some loose round robin format, do you guys have a favorite and least favorite, or maybe just a notable cast member that you wanna talk about?
No, I don't. I hate the hosts.
You don't like the Revenge?
I think it's cheesy. I get it. I get it. You're overplaying the joke, like you're overusing the word nerd. You don't need to get two of the stars from the Revenge of the Nerd movie, a movie that came out fucking 30 goddamn years ago that none of these fucking people even know about in today's nerd culture anyway, because it wasn't a nerdy movie.
Were they?
What?
But the people, they were just actors. They didn't do anything nerdy back in the day or anything.
Right. I mean,
characters.
Exactly.
Well, again,
I've always admired you as the king of the nerds. You've never done anything except those movies.
Right.
Those kids never watched those movies, let's be honest. But
you're a fucking actor in Hollywood. You are the farthest thing from a goddamn nerd or geek or any other thing. Oh, you're gonna tell these kids how you were so socially unacceptable? Unaccepted? You were fucking partying in L.A. as a paid actor on a giant blockbuster fucking film from the 80s. The most lavish time of overindulgence there ever was and could have been.
Yeah.
Oh, woe is you. I don't buy it, and it sucks because it takes away from the legitimacy of the show. Yes, it was funny. And if they were there one time, one episode, I would have excused it. But the fact that they're sitting there on the throne. And
yeah.
While I'm on a rant, how about this? What do you guys think about, okay, they've got the PhD guys, they've got these fucking scientists, they've got these, all these things, but then what it really boils down to is you sit in the throne of games?
Yeah.
It's such a bad pun to begin with.
Right, it's a horrible pun to begin with, and then really, so is it a video game show? Is it a comic book show? Is it... like, what... it makes no sense, because if it's an all-encompassing nerd fest, geek fest, why is the crowning achievement to sit in the throne of games?
I did not get to see what decorations there were on the throne of games. I'm assuming that they were ranging from video games to puzzles to...
it looked like swords and guns to me.
Swords, guns, action figures, and controllers.
I mean, I guess how else would you... okay, again, the repetition of the word nerd, the inclusion of the stars of Revenge of the Nerds, who, fun fact, were in the Nerd Travaganza's hometown of Fort Lauderdale, Florida, filming Nerds in Paradise back in the 80s. Don't know if you guys know that.
I was actually there on the set.
Nice! Oh, wow, hey, you got some bona fides. That means you're king of the nerds.
You could have prevented this, Rick.
I know, I could have.
But, you know, their inclusion, and as well, you know, the Game of Thrones reference. Come on, these are all things to cast a wide net to bring in quote unquote mainstream audience members, because remember, they're appealing to millions of people who are probably being exposed to this stuff for the first time. So you have to keep repeating, this is nerdy, this is nerdy, this is nerdy, until it clicks with them, right? Because to them, it's all brand new.
Right.
It's like there's an instructional element for people who, you know, like they switched over from watching whatever, pick your show, and or maybe that, you know, like you said, Big Bang Theory was like their introduction, and now they're delving deeper in. So they've got to.
I'm glad you picked up on and explained the facetious nature of my comment, because that's where I was going with it.
Yeah, absolutely. So.
Because if we were to get literal with this thing, it would be nothing but a shit fest. So, so we cannot do that.
No. The nature of your analysis was evident, sir. Ooh, I sound like I could be on the show. The nature of your analysis was evident. I've got some candidates for people I don't and do like. So. Again, it's a testament to the casting that on this first show, one that I want to watch again, two, that there's people I already like and don't like.
Okay, and I could, rather than me being able to pick, I could probably agree or disagree.
Okay, I'll go over a few and then unless you got... Brian, do you have any that you know by name that you'd like to mention?
Well, I'm sure this will come as a shock, but the emotionally traumatized nerdy chick, Alana...
I knew that you were in love with her the moment you saw her.
She's the only one I think I'd spend 5 minutes with. Like, I just kind of hated every one of the other ones.
And she was the one who didn't get picked, so actually became the biggest nerd of the day.
Which was the only clever thing, I thought. That was actually kind of a cool twist.
I, in the back of my mind, suspected it, but when it came to fruition, I was like, badass. And I laughed out loud, literally.
Yeah,
and I was like, hell yeah, that's awesome.
I was happy about that, especially since, like, pretty pink-haired, whatever her name is, hugged her, like, with, like, a patronizing, like, you're one of us, hug.
Why will give me karma? I didn't take it that way. I took it as an actual gesture. I don't know why.
I wasn't sure until she said in an aside, I did that, so it'll come back to me later.
As karma, yeah, like in the app, you know, in the offset interview or whatever it was.
Yeah.
Well, it'll come back as karma. I mean, you know, I don't want like fat chicks being on the show. You know, I kind of got that vibe. It was interesting to me though that Alana, who is, you know, a little on the heavier side and probably not conventionally the most beautiful girl, was left last girl standing along with one of the prettier girls on the show, the pink haired girl whose name I completely can't remember.
Her name is Danielle, and she's a video blogger. Or video game blogger,
right. It was interesting that I would not, just based on looks, I would have imagined that she would have gotten picked early on, but then maybe they looked at her and was like, oh, this is like a, you know, this is a pretty girl posing as a geek or a nerd.
Oh, dude, there was definitely some classism going on.
Yeah, yeah.
The selection process was fairly smart, though. They kind of already had her role filled, so...
Yeah, they didn't really...
last, I guess.
They didn't, yeah. Yeah.
And anyway, they broke it down. We've got a smart guy, we've got a comic book guy, we've got a gamer guy. We're good, man, you know?
Yeah, yeah, there was some strategic thinking going on, which I liked. And yeah, I liked that Alana came in as like the empress at the end because she was picked last. That was a very nice thing to do.
I feel compelled to explain what the hell we're talking about, but I figure if people didn't watch the show, they're probably not listening to this anyway. Probably I don't know.
After
Yeah, we give the show a recommendation based on its first episode. So if there's anything you want us to fill you on, we'll be glad to. But watch the show. I'm sure it'll be on in reruns. Let's see. Other notable members of the cast. As I mentioned, that guy Joshua just rubbed me the wrong way because he came across as way too hipstery.
Which one was he? Oh, he was the... Okay.
Yeah. And like, I you don't understand. I know more about comics and gaming than anyone. Like I did not care for that one bit.
And he hosts a
geek. Was he the geek debate host?
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah. Oh, can you imagine debating with him for 5 minutes?
Yes, he produces and hosts a live and interactive geek debate show. He loves comics and video games. He's also a huge sci-fi fan.
We gotta find out how to dial into that show so that we can have a wonderful, enlightening.
But could you be less general?
Yeah, no. All right.
I like video games, comics, and stuff.
And anything else that qualifies me to be on this show.
Tom, I changed my mind. There is somebody who I fucking hated and wanted to punch my television.
Was it Virgil?
Please tell me it was Virgil.
Yes, that fucking...
Was it Virgil?
That fucking Virgil guy was a dick!
My in my notes for him, I have the only thing I have is Virgil - cocky asshole.
Do you think we could go back to them to find out their reasons? Because I'd be very interested in understanding as to why they picked him as being the smarter of the group.
Like, yeah. This guy was so desperate to be loved by these other people. Either loved or feared, or both.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I'm a hacker. And then everyone's fucking making fun of him. Okay, well, you were named the mystery man. Well, you have to be discovered to be named, so guess what?
They found you.
You couldn't have been that good of a hacker if you were discovered, idiot.
Yeah, I didn't... I think they introduced... Okay, they introduced him shortly after the girl who... They nicknamed her, like, Moog or Moogie, and her first name I can't exactly remember. I thought I wrote it.
I don't know how to pronounce it, but they call her Moo on the show, so
they showed her, and like, you gotta like a girl who's like, you know, 16, graduates high school, in her early 20s, she's already working at NASA, like, awesome. And she seemed very like a sweet girl, you know what I mean? Like, I like her. I'm like, oh cool, they're gonna have like intellectuals on here, you know, who are like accomplished and credentialed. Then Virgil comes on, I have a PhD in condescension, blah. And I was just like completely, I found that his behavior to be very off-putting.
And he had some bizarre description for himself, like he's a, I don't know, techno jihad or some shit. You yeah, know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, it's a hacker lord or I don't know, something ridiculous. Yeah.
God, I wrote it down and I can't even read what I wrote because I was writing it so fast.
What about Celeste, the pro gamer, the show, the girl that her.
Oh, the token Asian girl who plays video games.
Well, now we're.
It is extremely thin and mildly attractive.
Yeah, and we're.
Well, she's a. Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
No, I'm just gonna say, you know, they try to make her so much less geeky. Dude, let's face it. If any of us saw this chick in high school, she would have been on the cheerleading team.
Yeah, the pro gamer. Yeah.
Yeah.
And actually, I think pink hair would have probably been on there too, and her hair would have been blonde. But I'm just gonna say that.
She looks like a Dead Star fan, so I'm not gonna rag on it because.
Well, I'm not. You know what? I take that back. Edit that out because, you know, on the off chance that she listens, I want her to think we like her.
Okay.
Yeah, Celeste did seem very. She seemed, but then again, I guess we really shouldn't judge based on looks. Wasn't she the one that was like a whiz at solving Rubik's cubes and things too?
Yeah.
So yeah, that's just a memory skill. Like,
I've done
not
that.
To take away from it, but
well, she's a professional gamer in the sense of she's good at like a lot of games, not just video games.
All right, so she can kick my ass at Call of Duty. That doesn't make her a nerd.
She might beat your ass at Catan too. That's all I'm saying. Yeah, I don't know.
No, but to my point was going to be that based on looking at her, you'd be like, you know, oh yeah, right. This girl, they picked her because she's hotter than the other girls in a traditional sense to most mainstream watchers of the show, I would think.
Yeah, yeah.
And whatever, but once they did her bio and you know, started seeing her on the show, I don't think she's a plant. I think it's legit. I think she, you know, she came off as a legitimate gamer person. Nerd, geek, or whatever, that aside, I don't know, but she definitely came across legitimately as a pro gamer. To me, anyway.
Yeah, yeah. I think looks were deceiving in that case, because yeah. I would say that she's probably... it's a toss-up for who's the most conventionally attractive on the show between her and Jessica, was it? The blonde, the pink-haired girl?
Danielle,
sorry. I don't know why I keep wanting to call her Jessica or something. But yeah, all right. So goes to show that we shouldn't judge our books by their cover, even if they are attractive covers.
Oh, Jesus. I hate Ivan even more now.
Why?
I'm reading their bios. Up? His favorite TV show is My Little Pony, Friendship is Magic.
Ugh. Well, Brian, that brings me to the team leaders, one of whom was Ivan, the RPG designer who was picked to head the...
Wolverine.
He was picked to head the orange team. Why do you call him Wolverine? Oh, because of the mutton chops? Yeah. He did have the good sense to pick Moo, if that's her name. And that was like his first... Moo, whatever. He had the good... I keep wanting to call her Moog with a G. But he had the good sense to pick her, so that raised him in my ranking. He moved up the scale as far as I was concerned, having done that. But as a leader, as a likable team leader, I would definitely put Genevieve, the leader of the blue team, over him. The girl,
yeah.
The fantasy writer.
Yeah.
In fact, she might be my favorite on the show. She and Moo are sort of tied right now.
commercials made me want to hate Ivan really bad when the show first started and he's standing there with his fucking smug-ass look on his face. Like, I was just like, dude, you are fucking nobody. Stop trying to be somebody. I work for a generic no-name company. Maybe they're just not allowed to say it. I don't know. I just, you know, if you're going to make a claim like that, let's see the what are the creds behind it. I want to know what games you co-designed and worked on or whatever.
Actually, I'm curious to know these things, too. I don't know if these are something things that we can look up now.
But I will say, when he was chosen as the team leader and stuff, and I saw how he interacted with people, I was like, okay, he's not a dick. You know, he was kind of hamming it up for the intros, which is understandable. I mean, so I had a little bit of a turnaround on him, but I'm with you on the Genevieve thing. I think she's probably, I don't know if I want to say the one I like the most or the one that annoys me the least. but I wish she was on the orange team because I like, I don't know, I think I'm orange team, but I like Genevieve. She didn't bother me.
She just seemed cool. Yeah, I'm with you. Okay, there's one other point I wanted to touch on, and that had to do with the attire of the various people on the show. I felt like there was a little bit of costuming going on. I mean, weird, like, button-down shirts with oddly matched pants and a bright bow tie. I mean, you know, throw some. It seemed like they...
television pretty, remember?
it really seemed like a lot of these guys were just sent straight out of central casting. I mean, like, okay, you're the awkward, you know, such and so, and you're the, you know what I mean? It was a little much. Like,
But then you have people like that Alana chick who, dude, there was obviously no wardrobe fucking going on behind
the
scenes.
Right, she was just wearing like a Batman shirt one time, which I was like, oh, that seems legit. Like, she brought that with her from home, you know what I mean?
That John guy, I've seen dozens of guys dressed like him. He's the metalhead guy.
Yeah.
The rainbow bright girl, or pink-haired Danielle girl. I've seen that outfit a million times.
That's a look.
Parties. Yeah, that's a look. But the fact that that one kid had, like, the bow tie on and stuff, and the host also had a bow tie on and made that little snarky remark about
likes bow ties like you.
You guys share neckwear or something like that. It was like, it seemed planted, and the look of the outfit, the comments, and the whole thing, it was a very TV moment.
Yeah. So I wonder, I'll have to reanalyze in upcoming episodes, but I'm gonna have an eye out to see where
definitely
wardrobe you know, came in and overrode some personal decisions on the part of the cast. So Hendrik is gone. It's a shame. He seemed pretty bright. Are you guys okay with him having? If you could have picked anyone to be sent home, who would it have been?
Not him, I don't think.
Yeah,
I think it would have been interesting to see the. I would have liked to have seen the gamer girl go home. The pro gamer girl. I don't know why. Because she just seems so one note. I don't even know.
I agree. She seemed very
one
like
dimension.
I am a gamer. I play games. Like, what else? Tell me more about yourself. Games. You know, like, she seemed not very interesting, but hopefully she'll prove to be more so.
But, you know, they did show some sneaky shit with her running around to each team captain and, like,
actually
schmoozing her way around.
Now that you mention it, she came across as a one-dimensional gamer girl, like a one-trick pony, but she was going around, like, being very diplomatic, wasn't she?
Yeah.
She may prove to be a real snake in the grass going forward. So, it would have been interesting to see her sent home. I see. And Brian, anybody?
Well, okay, I should re-clarify that. I think it would have been interesting to see her get picked by the other team, even though it was so expected.
Yes, to battle the chess match.
Because of how it ended up being a chess match, I would have liked to see how that would have turned out.
Now, she really thinks she thinks that she's a massive asset and a target.
Right.
And I'm not sure, unless video games are going to be a prominent, or games are going to be a very prominent.
But it did seem like that throughout the show, especially with the Game of Thrones, or the Throne of Games. And stuff like that. So how surprised were you guys, not only that it was a chess game, but then B, the fact that neither one of those people that were chosen, these mathematicians and physicists or whatever, it really broke the stereotype that they weren't giant chess players.
Right.
No, they were playing a game of giant chess.
I would not have picked Alana as the chess expert in the group.
Exactly.
Because she was like short selling herself, like, I only have an associate's degree and I'm dumb and I only like comic books and I just want to die. Like,
yeah, but she's kind of also the only one really acting like a nerd.
Well, my heart went out to her when she was like crying because she was just acting so socially like retarded that I was like, my God, this is a girl who's really known some pain. Or at least she comes across that way.
All right, so while we're talking about the chess game, what was up with the over-the-top costumed porno chick that was there moving the chess pieces around?
I think
did you notice every time she bent over and showed her ass, they would slow motion the camera?
Yes, yes. I think they made a concession by allowing like less than like perfect 10 models on, and like the execs were like, we gotta have like some tits and ass on this show somehow. So bring a stripper in. We'll just shoehorn her into the show somehow.
Something. I mean, we're going to have to keep an eye and see if that's a reoccurring theme. It was just so strange.
Her companion in, like, whatever realmy attire he was in,
he was from the movie, he was a 300 extra.
Was he a 300 extra? I mean, at least that had some kind of a geeky tie-in, but she was just a...
Those guys wandered by, hey, this is the Playboy Mansion, right?
yeah, I want to make $50. Was the pink-haired girl a particular character or representative of some kind of a trope?
Cat of some sort.
I wouldn't have known she was a cat girl if that guy hadn't have said something. And well, there... I don't think he was right about the Harajuku at all. I'm not any expert, but...
What's Harajuku, Brian, if you could...
It's a Japanese fashion trend that died 5-6 years ago.
Thanks to Gwen Stefani, who
yeah, exactly.
gave birth and killed it all at the same time. Made it mainstream and made it go away.
Thanks, Gwen. Brian, what weapon was the Spartan using to dispatch the chess pieces?
Not a mace, which... Thanks for getting my blood pressure up again.
But they described it as such.
Well, he said, do I get my head cracked open by a mace now, when he lost?
Hendrick did?
Yeah.
Oh, Hendrick's socially awkward. We forgive him his lack of knowledge of medieval weaponry, or Greek weaponry, I guess it would have been.
Do we? Do we really?
I don't. I forgive nothing. I'm a harsh judge of this show, and the king's justice will be done! So, Brian, anybody you would have sent home besides Hendrick?
The only one I really didn't like, I mean, Joshua, with his, like, superior attitude, like, I thought he could go. Mm-hmm.
He's my pick, by the way. I would have sent him.
I would have liked, not to pick on John, but I would have liked John to go instead of Hendrick, because I just liked him better.
Yeah.
But...
Yeah. If you had to pick between the two people who were up, whose head was on the block, you would have taken down John. Yeah, given a choice between those two, I'd rather John had gone home. Hendrick seemed John seems like a nice guy.
See, I like them both. I would have liked to see them both of those guys stay for the same reason, because they're exact polar opposites, man.
Yeah.
Like, John's like kind of like this fucking dirty wannabe metalhead kid who would probably get the shit kicked out of him by any real metalhead. But he's the badass of his sect. He is.
What was his talent? What did he do?
He's a mathematician.
Okay, well, that makes him kind of bright too.
He's the dirty rocker of the math world, kind of thing. And then you've got the exact opposite with that Hendrick guy, who is kind of the stereotypical quirky weirdo, uber intelligent, more so, you know, too intelligent for his own good kind of thing.
I
think that, you know, with one, you've got the drama of, okay, he's not going to get emotional. But Hendrick's not going to get emotional. He's not going to explode. He's not going to be... he's going to be polite and diplomatic, but at what cost?
Yeah.
And then you've got the other thing of, okay, this guy looks like he could explode at any minute and could probably beat the living shit out of anybody else on the cast if he lost his cool. And if anyone looked like they might have a short temper, it would be him.
Yeah.
So, you know, just as a general spreading, I would like to have seen both of those guys stay. And of course, we don't know if that's how they're going to turn out to be, but from first looks,
we were with them for like 10 minutes.
Right, so for first impressions, that's what it seemed like.
Well, this show is definitely, you know, all first impressions, so... Yeah, John, the one thing you just reminded me of something when you were talking about him. He said he reads textbooks for fun and goes to metal shows. That's interesting to me. I mean, to sit down and like work through math problems for pleasure.
Yeah, that's odd.
So yeah, I am kind of, I'm not sad that he's on the show still. But I will miss, I think I'll miss Hendrick going forward.
Yeah, I would have really liked to seen how things panned out with him. I think it would have been interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, could you imagine, like, if it turned out to be, you know, Alana starts falling in love with him because he's so smart, but he's never had the touch of a woman before, so he starts freaking out, and this is all happening on television as it all unfolds?
The touch of a woman.
I just think, you know, shit like that might have been funny.
I hope the whole Alana thing turns out to be just, like, a big joke, and she's actually like the most ruthless person on the
I don't know, man. I'm with Brian. I think she's like, she's legit. Like, she's the same chick we see when we hit up Tate's, you know?
Yeah.
So she's not playing a role. This isn't a fad. She is the legit outcast.
Well, that certainly seems to be the case, but that would make it all the more powerful if she turned out to be just a wolf in sheep's clothing.
Yeah, but I also think Genevieve is too. But she's also the one who is still pretty enough to be not made fun of. And
yeah, definitely.
She's comic book store hot, let's say that.
She's the hottest girl selling her fantasy writing in Artist's Alley at a con. Let's put it that way.
Exactly.
Oh, this picture just reminded me. Who was wearing the polar bear hat or whatever?
That was Danielle, the pink.
I wanted her off, sorry.
But it's funny, I thought she was wearing a polar bear hat, but also
Panda bear.
The professional gamer was wearing one of those like animal hats that have like the long hand holder things that you put your...
I thought that was the same hat, actually.
I swear I saw them both wearing it.
They might have been passing it around. Whatever, I hated that hat. Whoever touched it needs to go.
That would eliminate both... That would eliminate the two hottest girls on the show right off the bat, I think, so... You know... Alana was definitely a nerd before last year, and she can't wear that stuff. So, you made a good point. Wardrobe didn't really seem to intervene much with her. And I think it's because, you know, being a bigger girl, I guess it was harder to put her in, like, the panda bear hat and, like, the like extremely short shorts.
Yeah.
Some of these girls like, just...
That's the bigger girl. Jesus.
What? Well, she is on the show, which...
Right,
you know,
right. She is on the show. She's a size 8!
I would say the guys were more representative of the typical male nerd, but the girls were a little too, like... They did not pull, I would say, physically a very representative set of women, right? I say that Alana would be more in line. At least that's my opinion. But...
I think there was more free range with the guys, and then it was, well, let's try to pick a representative of a couple different groups, cliques, or whatever, of the chick variety. Okay, we'll go with the semi-hot Asian girl who plays games. We'll go with the kind of wallflower, obviously very academically nerdy Genevieve chick who's, you know, kind of just floats through the hallways in school, doesn't get noticed or ignored. And then you've got the am I goth, am I nerdy, am I gamer, am I punk, I don't know, I'm kind of everything Hot Topic mashup of Danielle.
Yes.
And then you've got, I hate to say it, but your token uber intelligent space girl who's just happens to also be black and, you know, probably worked her way up through the fucking ghetto somehow. Sure, they'll work that into the backstory. And then you've got the one, the only, the true, who they're trying to say, the fat, dumpy one.
Which, to Brian's point, is, I mean, put her in the
Dude, she's a third of the size of half the chicks we see at cons.
That's what I'm trying to say. I'm calling her the bigger girl on Brian like Gafal. He's like, dude, she's like a size 8. And he's right. Like, she's really not an enormous girl. She just, they put these, like, waify model figure girls on the show. And I don't think that represents nerds or geeks. You know, not trying to be a sizist or anything. But
yeah. But I don't know. The girls are definitely put in a shittier position on this show. Whether it was deliberate or not is, you know, whatever. But as an outsider, somebody who is familiar with all of these groups, labels, or whatever you want to call them, I would be offended if I was a chick watching this show. I think they did fine with the guys, though. The guys, it's representative, I think.
I hang regularly with guys who are reasonable,
right, exactly,
facsimile of those fellows. So, yeah. I'm gonna do a little more reading to get a female perspective of the cast. I'll go to some female run geek / nerd blogs or opinion sites to sort of get the female perspective on whether or not they thought TBS was continuing the oppression of women's bodies by casting thin.
Dude, if you stacked them all up and lined them side by side, they gradually get thicker.
Do they?
Yes.
I mean, it probably says a lot that we're focusing so much on the physical appearance of the girls. I mean, TBS had to make a call, like, look, it's TV, and we've got to put some eye candy, some female eye candy out there, period.
Yeah. All right, well, Take Back the Night aside, let's,
yeah.
We never really got an answer to the question. Were you surprised that those two guys weren't familiar with the stereotypical nerds and geeks like chess? I mean, and they were both academic nerds / geeks. People use both of those terms incorrectly, so we're just going to use them both right now. But you would figure that both of those guys, a mathematician and some other scientist guy, stereotypically they would be into, they would,
I mean, at least have played it.
Well, yeah, no, that one guy didn't even play it.
John,
when he was
learning moves. The knight does what?
When he was saying, when he was describing his level,
if I was to describe my capabilities in the level of chess,
I thought he was going to say, like, Kasparov or some shit.
Yeah.
Big Blue or whatever.
Deep Blue, right.
Yeah, Deep Blue. But then he throws out novice. I was like, oh, shit, this is going to be interesting. It kind of seemed fake.
Yeah.
Planted fake. Not like he had to fake he didn't know. But it's like, okay, we know this guy doesn't like chess. We know this guy doesn't know how to play chess. So we're going to make them play chess. I don't know. It seemed too perfect.
Well, John had, he played it on, I think they made it.
In middle school he played.
He played in middle school, like maybe he was on a team or something, and he definitely knew. So it was his actual experience stacked against Hendrick's, like, ability to just completely, like, absorb and synthesize information on the fly.
Right.
And Alana's bad advice. Tisk tisk, Alana. I'm trying to show her blubbering after the fact. Like, I blew it and he was sent home.
I thought that's what was going to happen. As she's eating a fucking cake. Not a piece of cake. A cake.
I'm three cakes in. Yeah, I'm now looking. As we approach the end of the episode, guys, I just pulled up, like, a photo of the entire cast. And, yeah.
Revolution of Man.
Some of these, I just don't imagine. I wouldn't care. Just looking at some of these girls, especially, I wouldn't characterize them as geeks. But hey, who am I to judge?
So, final thoughts?
Final thoughts. I thought the show was good, and I'll watch again. I'll stick with it. See how it goes.
I'll definitely watch it again. I somehow doubt I'll watch every episode until the end and be, you know, excited about who wins or whatever. But I'll probably catch it again.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm going to follow it, but I'll definitely keep an eye on it and keep an open mind. But I think it's really going to be based, my continuation is going to be based on the previews for the next week's shows. You know what I mean? Because then you can kind of get a gauge. If it's something I'm interested in personally, then I'll watch it regardless. So we'll see.
If it degenerates into Double Dare style antics where they're like sliding,
whirling, flaming swords.
Yeah, that'll lose me pretty quickly. But we'll see where it goes.
It all depends on how far Alana goes.
Brian. Yeah, you know what? In all honesty, I kind of want to watch it just to see how far she goes. It's almost like maybe that could be our that could be our angle. We're team Alana, man, and we'll just fucking have a report every week.
Want to do that? Want to back Alana? I'll do that. Yeah, I guess that pretty much sums things up. If any of our legions of female listeners want to weigh in on the issue of how representative the female cast members were, we would love to hear from you. But with that said, I guess we can end this. Any final comments? That's it.
That's it.
All right.
Let's kick this bitch.
Well, if you want to be included next time we on the Nerds Travaganza podcast hold court, you would do well to pop on over to iTunes, subscribe to our podcast, and rate it favorably, and as well write a very favorable review of our podcast.
Or you can just go full-blown anarchist and jump on over to www.nerdstravaganza.com, where you can download the show, stream the show, rate the show, or send us an email at nerdstravaganza@gmail.com.
Or you can join the discussion on our Facebook group, which is facebook.com/group/nerdstravaganza.
The king has spoken.
Peace! That's where Tom comes in and says something else, and then we leave.